This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. We do it all for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Well, as we told you at the beginning of the show, and as we said last week when this happened, it's so very predictable how things have unfolded since a clerk at the Supreme Court, a far-left clerk, no doubt, leaked the abortion ruling that may or may not come down this summer to try to fire up Democrats, because Democrats needed a life ring. They're losing when it comes to the illegals crossing the border. They're losing when it comes to gas prices, food prices, all inflation, crime running rampant, brink of nuclear war. It has been nothing but ugliness for the Democrats in every single way. And so they needed to throw a Hail Mary. They needed Golden Tate to somehow reel it in the back of the end zone. And the media was playing the role of Golden Tate, because the Supreme Court clerk leaks this abortion thing, which has no effect in most of the country, including Washington State. But now they're trying to use that as their only possible win between now and the midterms. So the King County Council, they brought a motion forward that said the Supreme Court will take away the rights of women to make decisions over their own bodies, which is a lie, of course. That's what most on the King County Council do. They lie for a living. Because it's not going to change anything in King County or in Washington State. But then the King County, the website said, this is from Claudia Balducci and Jeannie Cole Wells. As a nation, we must stand up to the kind of restrictions on freedom and autonomy in the same way we condemn assaults on freedom in any other country in the world. And so, in other words, they wanted a vote in King County that'll do nothing, because nothing's changing in King County. And they say that everybody voted to uphold pro-death rights in King County, except for Reagan Dunn. They said Reagan Dunn, who's running as a congressman in the 8th District now against Kim Schreier, that he would not vote for this abortion rights bill. And so now Reagan Dunn is being branded as somebody who wants to kill mothers in back alleys. And they're using it. I've been trying to get him on for 2 days now, because I want to talk to him about this, because he seems to be the front runner. There are a lot of solid Republicans who are running in the 8th District. But Reagan Dunn has had the lead and seems to be the front runner to go head to head with Kim Schreier. And if there is a Republican tsunami in the midterms, Reagan Dunn would seem to be a beneficiary of that. But now they're trying to make this a single issue, and that being the bogus abortion issue in America. So we'll work to get Reagan Dunn on still, because I want to hear both from a personal belief standpoint and politically why he decided to stand against the let's uphold abortion in King County, knowing that abortion will be upheld in King County. So we'll get hold of him as soon as possible to talk about that. But that is just another example of how the media and the Democratic Party, we're seeing the same thing that we saw in 2016 and 2020. The media, and that includes social media, it includes Facebook and Twitter, at least until Elon Musk takes over, but they have formed a very unholy alliance, cabal, with the Democratic Party to get Democrats elected. And it's the media as a absolute lapdog of government and no longer a watchdog of government. So we'll keep you posted on that one. And then you have this, along the same lines. On Saturday, the longest of long shots, won the Kentucky Derby. The horse was 80 to 1, the named Rich Strike. And it was almost like watching somebody play an expert game of Frogger as the jockey maneuvered the horse from 16th place to running away with it at the finish line in just the last eighth of a mile. It was really great. So it's a great feel-good story. And finally, the sports world can just focus on feel-good stories, right? Of course not. Because you want to talk about the most woke people in all of media? Just go into a professional sports stadium press box or the media table. You will find the wokest of the woke. You will find the furthest left people who are sports writers and sportscasters in America. It really is something. And I saw this up close and personal for many, many years, just how off the deep end sports media has gotten. Now, there are some exceptions. But anyway, ESPN is the worst. I used to, when I was a kid, when I was in college, oh my gosh, I loved ESPN. A friend of mine, he was one of the first people I knew who had cable TV. And he had an apartment up on Queen Anne. He was going out of town, and he asked me if I wanted to house sit. I was working till 1 or 2 a.m. I was a bus boy at the World Trade Center on the Seattle waterfront. We did, like, high school graduation and wedding receptions and all kinds of events, high school reunions. So I'd get off at 2 a.m. I'd get to my friend's apartment about 3 a.m. And I loved turning on ESPN because back in the earliest days, they'd have things like putt-putt golf and slow-pitch softball. It was fun. ESPN has become the least fun network in all of television because they've gotten so woke and everything about ESPN is just pushing social justice stuff. So anyway, you have this great Kentucky Derby story, 80 to 1 long shot, wins the Derby. The owners, what a rags to riches tale that is. So they got one of the owners of Rich Strike on ESPN yesterday. The owner's name is Eric Reed. Did they talk about the joy of having a long shot horse win the Kentucky Derby? No. The guy doing the interviewing, he found a tweet that the owner sent out last January when somebody said, how did Kamala Harris get this far? When everybody recognized that Kamala Harris was the most incompetent major party ticket person in history. And somebody said, how did Kamala Harris get so far? And the owner of the Kentucky Derby horse in January said, it's very crude what he said. Said she's good on her knees, which is a very misogynistic, horrible thing to say. But is that the story when his horse has just won the Kentucky Derby? Well, ESPN decided they were going to ambush this guy because they dug up a five-month-old tweet that he had tried to send out in jest. And here's how you go from joyous to humorless in 20 seconds.
Of the United States, I have to ask you, was that your actual account and was that a tweet from you? And if so, what do you have to say about that?
I haven't seen anything about it. Haven't been told about it. I don't know what's going on out there. I'm more concerned with Richie and what's going on with us and this great horse and how much he's helping everybody. So, you know, there's haters out there and that's about how I want to leave something like that.
So ESPN just has to turn everything into their social justice political crusade. They can't ever just have moments of joy, which is why they've lost a massive amount of their audience. And why all of their, ironically, other than the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, who makes $10 million, all of their other anchors, who used to make a lot of money, and they've all had to take massive pay cuts or get fired because nobody wants to watch their nonsense anymore. And I am on that list of people who don't want to watch ESPN anymore. And then there's this. So, Nicole, you know I don't like to talk about our ratings.
Okay.
Because it sounds unnecessary for us to continually talk about
sure.
how we have the highest rated local news talk show in the United States of America. And I hate talking about that. However, I will point out that given our most recent monthly ratings, which was an all-time record mm-hmm. for this radio show, do you realize that we, our little Seattle-based radio show, terrestrial radio show, now has more listeners than some MSNBC shows nationwide have viewers?
Really? I had not realized that.
Yes. They just debuted a brand new show on MSNBC featuring Simone Sanders. Simone Sanders, she was a Joe Biden advisor, and she was given, and she describes herself as a curvy, bald, black woman. That's how she positioned her talk show. She was going to bring people perspective from a curvy, bald, black woman, and they just got their first week's numbers. And they were among the lowest in MSNBC history. And in the coveted 25-54 demo, on a nationwide television network, they got 24,000 viewers. Now, I will tell you, I'm sorry, 29,000. We have more than 29,000 listeners in that coveted 25-54 demo in the last month on this show with our best ratings ever. So we now, with a Seattle radio show, can outdraw a national MSNBC network show.
That's
I know
impressive.
It's kind of damning us with faint praise, especially when you hear Simone Sanders and the kind of oratory skills that she brings to her new program. This is her when she was a advisor to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden was getting spanked in Iowa. He was in fourth place during the Iowa caucuses, and she was saying, oh, you can't trust these election numbers, and she went on CNN to throw the election results in doubt because no way could Joe be doing this bad.
Monday night in Iowa, there were failures across the process when it came to the Iowa caucuses. There was confusion.
Do you believe the results?
The app that the Iowa Democratic Party used.
Do you believe the data that you're seeing?
We
know that, Simone. Do you believe
there?
We understand. Do you believe the data is correct?
People were waiting for 2 hours.
Why can't you say if the data is correct or incorrect?
And then when people tried to drive their data to the Iowa Democratic Party headquarters, they were unable to get that data in there.
Is this correct what we're seeing, Simone? Is
this
correct?
The presidential preference cards are very important. So all our campaign has said, and what Kate Bedingfield
okay,
said
Simone.
Yesterday.
Okay, who wouldn't want to watch that? She sounds fascinating. Oh, I hope we have a little more to share with you.
Don't try to paint this as we're trying to say this is some kind of conspiracy theory, okay? What we
hey,
are saying,
Simone,
frankly, is that
Simone,
the integrity
I'm not saying,
of this process...
I'm repeating
Brianna,
what your communications
Brianna,
director
finish,
is saying.
No, the integrity
no, no, no,
of this
no.
process, and our communications
no,
director
because,
is trying to preserve the let, integrity
no, no, stop.
Of this process.
Simone, we're going to roll the soundbite. Let's roll the soundbite, you guys. Roll it right now.
And what we think...
You know what? I actually just feel sorry for those... What, 29,000 people that are spending their Saturday afternoon listening to that?
In fact, I'm furious Ugh. That her show even comes close to our show.
Right?
Ugh. We should have 100 times the listeners that she has viewers with that stuff there.
And there is. I happened to flip on MSNBC the other day. It was because I was obsessed with that inmate prisoner thing. And
oh, yeah.
And so we were, Fox wasn't covering it. I turned to CNN. They weren't covering it. So I was like, let me check MSNBC because nobody was covering this like intense, you know, shootout thing that they did at the end. Not really shootout. She just shot
right.
herself. But I turned it on to MSNBC and I don't know what it was, but I was like, dang, this is worse than CNN.
Oh, yeah. They're bad.
They're by a long shot. I mean, it's crazy.
It
and
really
that's where
is.
Psaki just went.
Yeah, so, yeah, Psaki's going to be the new savior. First they go with Simone Sanders, and now they have Psaki. And the Psaki sounds very close to what describes MSNBC as a network. You can figure that out on your own. All right, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, she's just a girl in New York City. Brandi Cruz is in the Big Apple, but still taking time out of her trip so that she can join us for our Thursday afternoon visit, which we will do right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.
You've been talking in your sleep, and it's been going on for weeks, and I've been solving puzzle pieces. High time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face. Every little lie stacked so high, can't keep your story straight.
It's Thursday afternoon, and that's when our friend Brandi Cruz drops by for her weekly visit. You can see her work at patreon.com/undivided. And this week, she is joining us from the city that never sleeps. No, not Las Vegas. She actually went to New York, New York. Hello, Brandi. Good talking to you today.
Hello. Yeah, the Dory Monson Show sent me out here on assignment.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
are you accomplishing some of the goals that we set out for you when you left for New York?
Yeah, I've been eating a lot of food on your dime. I had some drinks last night on your dime, so I would say I'm definitely accomplishing the core mission.
Yeah, Brandi went to find the best slice in all New York City. So that's
only
that's
the hardest hitting journalism. Yeah.
We'll have exclusive coverage next week. No, really, why are you there? You visiting friends?
Yeah, my dearest friend in the world actually made a decision during the pandemic to move from Seattle. He'd been living on Capitol Hill during the Chaz Chop era. And so for some reason thought that moving to New York City would be an improvement. And actually, I think it is an improvement from where he was prior. So I came to visit.
I believe we've had this conversation before, but I thought I was your dearest friend in the world.
Well, I mean, you are, but, you know, I just... It depends on who's listening, and he's within earshot, so
it's like
I don't want the rest of the trip to be awkward.
It's a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young thing. Love the one you're with.
Exactly.
Okay.
Precisely.
I was very proud of that reference. Okay, so well, let's talk about the comparison, because there was a time in my life, Brandi, when I was working till 11:30 on the late TV newscast, and every night I would, either by myself or with a couple of friends, I would we'd inevitably go get something to eat at midnight, either at the Doghouse or at 13 Coins, and then I would walk the streets of downtown Seattle till 3, 4, 5 a.m. because I found it just absolutely magical. And I was in my early 20s and I was just starting out professionally, and I felt like such an urban hipster to be walking the streets all night, every night. I would not dare do that in Seattle now. I would do it in New York City. The last couple times I've been back there, I felt completely safe. So what's your read on, and truly, what's your read on the safety of the two cities in a relative sense?
Well, I agree with you about Seattle. When I first moved to Seattle like a decade ago, we'd go down to by Pike Place, the Post Alley, to Kell's Irish Pub, and with my friend Jessamine and Nicole later on, and I would never do that now. I would 10 years later, I would never feel comfortable doing that. And, you know, New York City has its issues. I mean, we hear about them in the news a lot. We know that there's some issues with homicides and shootings and stuff. But as far as just the safety that I feel walking around the city, it's not even close. I feel completely safe. And I think one of the differences is it's more activated. You know, there's more people out and about. There's people here on business, people here, you know, on leisure. And so I don't feel... You don't have the very, very visible homeless issue, mental health issues, walking in the most, I'm talking about the heart of the city, right? Because, you know, there are areas obviously outside of like Midtown Manhattan and Times Square that get pretty bad. But when you're talking about the areas that are the most trafficked, like downtown Seattle, there's no comparison to me. I mean, downtown Seattle still post pandemic is like, it's like a graveyard. And it's much, much different here. And it just feels like night and day.
there are certain streets downtown Seattle that do feel like a third world country, where you have newspapers blowing up the sidewalk like a tumbleweed, and it's really sad to see. But yeah, it shuts down so much now downtown Seattle that in New York you have that safety in numbers because there is plenty of activity, and you feel maybe it's illusory, but you do feel safer there, I think, than you do here for sure.
Yeah, and again, there's issues, but like, for instance, I'm sitting in Central Park right now, and there's kids playing, there's people, you know, with their dogs and just enjoying it, and not a tent in sight. And in Seattle, if this park was in Seattle, it would be a homeless encampment.
Yeah, oh yeah, without question. We're starting to see that sprouting up even on the waterfront, which we're trying to rejuvenate. There was a interesting map that was sent out by Pew Research, and this is a national organization. They have no particular axe to grind with Washington, but they talked about how they put up a color-coded map of states and how much they added to their rainy day fund in the last year. 49 out of 50 states added to their rainy day fund. The only state that went negative in their rainy day fund is Washington. Now, when you combine that with the fact that we're one of the only states that did not give any tax refunds to citizens in the last year, that's a pretty damning indictment of the amount of spending Jay Inslee and the Democratic legislature are doing right now.
It is an absolute visual, and you got to go look at this map. It's an absolute visual representation of what it looks like when you can't budget. And I don't know, I've reached out to a Senate Democrat to ask, hey, you know, how are Democrats going to spin this? What is the spin machine here? Because you look at this map, and the whole rest of the United States is various shades of blue, all the states. And what the map represents is how many days a state could operate based just on their savings, okay? So on average in the United States, states can get by about a month just surviving on their savings and funding government. You have all the other states that are various shades of blue, depending on how many days you can get by. Some of them, like Texas, are, I think it's like 100. And then Washington State is like the only state, and it's orange, and it's in the negative. And I just don't see, as Democrats, how you could sort of spend that. You know, I could see them blaming it on the pandemic, and it's like, well, everybody went through a pandemic. Or I could see them blaming it on the fact that we don't have an income tax or something like that. But other states don't have an income tax as well. So to me, it's one of those things where I don't know how Democrats could spin that as anything other than just a complete failure of government and an inability to budget.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the income tax, because Florida could survive 18 days on just their rainy day fund. Texas, 62 days. Arizona, 26. Nevada, 8 days. Washington could not survive for 1 second because we have a negative rainy day balance. And some states, like in Wyoming, they could survive for 8 years without a penny of extra tax dollars coming in Indiana, or in North Dakota, rather. They could survive for, what would that be? Wyoming. Yeah, 300 days. Wyoming, almost 1 year. 300 days, not 300 months. North Dakota could make 115 days. So, yeah, Washington is, once again, and this isn't a surprise because another libertarian think tank, Cato Institute, they have ranked Jay Inslee the absolute worst governor in America on fiscal matters. And all of these things support all of these indictments of Jay Inslee as any kind of a leader.
Well, and again, and you look at, you named off some of those states, you're talking about the rest of the country. States that are very in line with Washington politically, states that are completely opposite of Washington politically, but somehow they're all able to manage their money better. You know, Washington, we've never met a tax we didn't like. We've never met a spend we didn't like. And that's just reflected in that map. Again, it's just the perfect encapsulation of just the failure of state government. Yeah. And I see it being shared all over. And so that's why I reached out to a Democratic politician today. And I'm going to send an email to a few more to just say, what is the defense of this? Because I'm just very curious how they're going to try to spin it.
And real quick, I'm going to ask you this on a periodic basis between now and November when we have our visits. But there undoubtedly is going to be a Republican tsunami, maybe some sort of a sweep this fall in the midterms. Do you think that is going to hit Washington?
Well, look, I think that there's, it's still hard. I guess my answer would be it depends on which race you're talking about. I do think Republicans are going to do well. I do wonder what the impact of the renewed abortion debate is going to have. For instance, you know, in the 8th Congressional District with Congresswoman Kim Schreier, to me, pre this whole debate, renewed debate over Roe v. Wade, I would say that she's going to have a hard time keeping her seat. But you're talking about a district that includes a lot of suburban moderate women who, you know, might kind of not understand the fact that that issue won't really impact them here, but they might vote on it regardless. So I do think that it's going to be a very, very good midterm for Republicans for a lot of really bad reasons. The cost of gas, the cost of food, those things are real tangible in people's lives. And Democrats can't downplay them, even though, you know, Biden tries to. So I do think it's going to be a good year for Republicans. I do think they're going to pick up some seats in Olympia. I don't know about the congressional, you know, the 8th district race. And I'm not sure about the Senate race either, you know, with Patty Murray. I know Tiffany Smiley's been getting out there a lot, but it's it is an uphill battle to try to win any statewide race.
I think that'll be tough. Yeah, and it's playing out exactly like the leaker intended it to from the SCOTUS, that they're going to leak this and then the media is going to focus on nothing but that one issue in an attempt to try to resurrect the media's party, which is the Democrats. So we'll see how it plays out, but it's going according to plan so far. All right, Brandy, it's great to talk with you. I appreciate you taking time out of your New York visit to drop by.
Yeah, thanks for sending me here.
Yeah, anytime. Okay. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Okay, Brandy Cruz, she joins us every Thursday afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. Check out her work. Go to patreon.com/undivided for Brandy's great, great work there. patreon.com/undivided. And we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So one of the things that Brandy and I were talking about is, according to Pew Research, Washington has the least amount of money in the state rainy day fund of any state in the country. Wyoming could cover its expenses for 301 days. Washington has a negative balance now in our rainy day fund. Now, the state is pushing back against this. They say, well, that's because we transferred money from the rainy day fund into another fund that we can tap into. They shifted $1.1 billion into the Washington Rescue Plan transition account. But the $1.1 billion that they transferred out of the rainy day fund, you have to follow the state constitution. But they transferred over $1 billion to this newly created Washington Rescue Plan transition account. Well, guess what? That account is not subject to the same constitutional restrictions. And they say, well, but we can use that as reserves. If we need to tap into something, we can tap into that. But Jay Inslee still has emergency powers, even though there's absolutely no rational reason for him to still have emergency powers because of COVID. But he's moved $1 billion into a fund that is not subject to constitutional restrictions, and then Jay Inslee makes sure that he holds on to powers where he is not beholden to constitutional restrictions. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see why we are always the ones to exclusively tell you that something is stinking to high heaven in Olympia and with Jay Inslee and with his bogus emergency powers, and now the fact that we're the only state with a negative balance, only state in the country with a negative balance in our rainy day fund because they moved over $1 billion from that fund to a fund where they don't have to follow the Constitution. And lo and behold, here's Jay Inslee, who, because of his emergency, self-declared emergency powers, he no longer needs to follow the state constitution. I tell you what, I mean, you want me on this wall. You need me on this wall. Because nobody else is talking about how sleazy this is. His emergency powers, how bogus they are. So we will absolutely continue to keep a tight watch on all of this. But the state was pushing back about this Pew report. Saying, oh, no, we just moved the money. Yeah, you moved it to an unconstitutionally regulated fund that is overseen by an unconstitutionally regulated guy, Jay Inslee. I am telling you, if this were the state of Denmark, we'd be rotten to the very core here. Got some really interesting stuff coming up next hour. Gas prices, as you know, have hit another all-time high. Here in Western Washington, I was driving around a little last night, and you see $5 a gallon gas almost everywhere right now. Joe Biden has done it. He's taken us over $5 a gallon. That's why you have all those, I did that, stickers on the gas pumps with Joe Biden pointing to the price.
It's ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. We need help.
It's extremely frustrating.
I just work part-time now, so it's more, most of my money's going to gas than anything.
And it doesn't appear to be letting up anytime soon.
All the trends are gearing up for prices to continue rising.
Okay, so gas prices, food prices, crime, that's what people care about. But the Republicans have now gotten so out of touch, they have no clue what you care about. Neither party cares about you. And I'm going to have some proof of that coming up right after the top of the hour. Because when both the Democrats and the Republicans abandon you, I still got you back here. Okay, much more to come right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.